Father, we just thank you tonight that you hear our prayers. Lord, you are so excited when your church comes together to pray, to stand in the gap for others, Lord. Thank you tonight that we can know that you have seen the cries of our hearts, Lord. You will answer, Lord, these prayers that have been prayed tonight. We thank you that we can believe that, Lord. That, Lord, the names that we have brought before you, the people, the organizations, God, this whole city that we've brought before you tonight, we thank you that you hear, Lord, the cries of your saints tonight. And we believe that you're going to do mighty things in this city. You're going to do mighty things through our lives, Lord, in our lives. Lord, we are ready for what you want to do, God. Even though we have weaknesses and that we fall short of your glory, God, we are expectant, Lord, for what you want to do through us. And so thank you tonight, Lord, for your word. Thank you that we can be changed tonight. We expectant, Lord, for what you want to do. And we say, come and do your will in our lives tonight. We glorify your name, Lord. It's all about you, Jesus. Receive every bit of glory for tonight. And thank you that the seed that will be sown tonight, Lord, we believe that it will bear much fruit. We don't want to stand in the way of that fruit, Lord. So thank you. Thank you for your presence, Lord. Thank you for your peace in every storm. You speak peace to the storm, Lord. You speak calm to every mind. And you speak order to that which is wandering, God. You bring us into perfect order and perfect peace. In Jesus' name. Amen. It's wonderful to be with you tonight. Isn't it amazing to know that you are loved by an awesome and a mighty God? Do you believe that tonight, that you are loved? Turn to the person next to you and say to them, you are so loved by God. It's just amazing to be in the presence of the King, isn't it? So I'm excited to be with you. I trust that you are too. Are you ready? Are you expectant for what the Lord wants to do tonight? You see, we're living in interesting times. We're living in exciting times. It's the very last days. Can anyone say amen? We're living in the very last days. If Jesus said to the disciples, you know, the end is coming, then surely we are even closer to the end. Amen. So sometimes we need to think about these things. We are living in interesting times. We are living in the very, very last days. God wants to do amazing things through your life and through my life. So I want to ask you this evening, what is God saying to you right now? You're hearing His voice. So I want to urge us all to hear God's voice at this time, to be obedient to what God is saying to you. But what is He saying to you tonight? That's why I asked you before the worship. I said, let us just take time out and forget about our busy schedules, forget about the church program. Just say, God, what are you saying to me right now? And how are you responding? Maybe you're struggling to connect with the King of your life. That's fine. You're in the right place tonight. Amen. Because the King of your life wants to speak to you. Maybe you don't know He's the King of your life. Tonight you will know that He's the King of your life. You see, I had the privilege of being in Stellenbosch this last week. And I was taken back to my own burning bush experience. You know, I'm talking tonight about the burning bush encounter that Moses had. And I was reminded, running through the streets of Stellenbosch again, reminded about my own burning bush encounter, reminded about how far the Lord had brought me, where He had taken me from. And it was so amazing to see Stellenbosch's life changed. You know, the building seemed to have changed. I was there for 14 years, for those of you who don't know, from 1996 until 2009, I became a little comfortable Stellenboscher, okay? And I was reminded again of just how far the Lord has brought me in my life and where I experienced Him in His fullness for the first time. And running through the streets, it was like I used to be this runner. And so the other day I was running and I just couldn't run like I used to run, you know. So things have changed. I've gotten a bit older, you know. The body doesn't respond to it like it used to, okay. But that's fine. Life has moved on. The people are different there, you know. I hardly know anyone in Stellenbosch anymore. I used to like know half the town almost, not quite. But I mean, you know, that was my home and that was where God started to work with me. But now I go back and I see lots has changed. But what's amazing for me is that I've moved on, my circumstances have changed, but I am just at exactly the right place that God wants me. And I just felt it so clearly, like I don't have a desire to go back there, you know. I know, unless God calls me, of course, but I know this is where I'm meant to be. And flying in through the mountains there, you just see this beautiful landscape and you, get taken back to when you had your mountaintop experience in Stellenbosch. And it was amazing to me to realize I've moved on. I had this encounter with the Lord, but I am exactly at the right place at the right time where God wants me now. But you know, I want to ask you this question. I want to say, what is God doing in your life? What are the circumstances in your life right now? Because maybe you need a burning bush encounter. You know, we always need a burning bush encounter. It's not just one time. You know, God wants to speak to us all the time. But I just want to look at the life of Moses here, because this is where he had his burning bush encounter. In Exodus chapter 3, it says the following. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law. Say after me, tending the flock. That is what he was doing. He was tending his father-in-law's sheep, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. Another name for Horeb is Sinai. Interesting, it's the exact same mountain where God gave Moses the Ten Commandments. Because he said at the end of this passage, he said, you will worship me, Yah. That's why I'm bringing you to this place. But then it said the following, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Now Moses had an interesting life. His life had taken a few turns. He grew up in Egypt, and he grew up in the king's palace, in Pharaoh's palace, and then he, you know, found himself being zealous to sort of let justice prevail, and he killed an Egyptian, and then he didn't find too much favor amongst the Egyptians, so he fled, and he found himself a wife, and this is where he was finding himself. He found himself in this family, marrying into this family, and Jethro was his father-in-law, and Yari was going through life just doing what he found himself to do at the time. He was tending sheep. He didn't have anything else to do. Moses was going through life just like most of us go through life, the normal daily routine of business. And this is interesting to know that even though he was busy with his own business, trying to just get by in life, just like most of us, we've called to do things, to study or to work, whatever. And here comes this amazing experience that Moses has. Suddenly he sees this flame of fire from the midst of a bush. And you know, Moses was used to these bushes sort of just naturally catching a light and burning out again because it was so hot there in the desert, and there were certain things that happened to cause these bushes to burn. But this thing was different. Moses suddenly saw, hey, but this bush doesn't seem to be going out. It doesn't burn out. It just keeps going and going and going. And so he decides to have a look at this. But you see, I want to say this evening that God, doesn't matter what you're busy with right now, He wants to encounter you. He wants to speak to you. He wants to meet with you. Doesn't matter where you are, what you're doing. You don't have to, you know, we don't have to meet God in church. We don't have to meet God in cell group. We don't only have to meet God in a prayer meeting. God wants to speak to us wherever we are. That is the great thing about God. God doesn't mind how, you know, how we struggle to connect with Him, and how we, you know, we try so hard sometimes to get to God. God is not shaken by that. He wants to meet you where you're at in your life right now. So it doesn't matter what you're busy with. Maybe studying for the exams. Maybe you're working. Wherever, whenever, God is not limited by circumstances. And He wants to appear to you like He appeared to Moses. But you see, many times we miss it. Why do we miss it? Because we're so busy with life. And yeah, Moses happened not to miss it. Because it says, yeah, he looked and behold, he saw that this bush was burning. And you see, I'll never forget my own story. In Stellenbosch, I was in this res where, you know, I was next to, it was a private res. I was in my fifth year finishing studying and so on. And I was in a church and sort of doing the Christian thing and serving God as much as I could. Then I met this guy next to me, and he was just, he kept for 6 months, he kept inviting me to a small group. He said, Alistair, you've got to come to the small group. And I just thought, this guy's wacko. But he was so on fire for the Lord. Every week he would say, yes, small group was so cool. And I just said, so, you know, you must come and join us. And I was thinking, you know, I'm sort of happy with my life. But I lied to him, and I lied to myself, because I wasn't really happy with my relationship with God at that stage. I was just ticking over as a Christian. I was, you know, just sort of frustrated in my relationship with God. I was caught in religion. I knew I had a relationship with God, but I was caught up in something happened. My prayers weren't hitting, they were hitting the ceiling. I couldn't break through to God. And I just happened to just carry on with this life. And this guy kept saying to me, Alistair, you must come. You must join with where God is going with us. And I resisted him for 6 months, but eventually I just realized, this guy is so radical. He's like this burning bush that I can't get rid of. I can't, like, you know, get him out of my, he's next to me in a room, and he's just in my life the whole time. And I eventually decided, I better go and investigate what's going on here. I better go and have a look at some, because something is burning in this guy's life, and it just doesn't seem to stop. You know, those days there were often fasts. For shofar had fasts, and this guy happened to be in shofar, by the way, and he was like fasting for 3 days, and he was almost like dying like that, but he still had this passion for God. You know, I'm going to fast now, and I'm going to go full out for God. And it was just, I thought, this is so challenging for me. This is radical. This is like a burning bush, and I can't get rid of it. But I decided to investigate. I decided I've got to go and have a look. What is going on here? Because something is happening, and I'm missing out. And you see, God wasn't shaken by my circumstances. God came to knock on my door. He came to meet me exactly where I was, right next to me. There was someone that He placed in my life. And so I want to say to you this evening, it doesn't matter where you are, God wants to meet with you. God wants to meet your circumstances. He's not shaken by whether you're going on with life or whatever you're doing. He wants to appear to you and start to speak to you. And then in verse 3, it says the following. It says, then Moses said, so yeah, Moses realizes there's something weird about this bush because it doesn't seem to be burning out. And so he says, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. Why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. See, Moses realized that this was not something normal. This was a supernatural thing. This was an unusual experience. And God wants to meet with us. God wants to speak to us through unusual experiences. We many times miss out because we're not focused. And God just wants to show us the burning bushes around us in our lives. Just to stop us in our tracks and to arrest us. And yeah, Moses suddenly realized he's got to stop everything he's busy with and look at what is happening. And you see, I want to say to you tonight, God knows how to get your attention. Do you know that? Because for all of us, it's going to be different. For Moses, it happened to be a burning bush in the desert because that's where he found himself. God wants to meet you where you're at, but He wants to get your attention in a very unique and specific way. And so I want to say to you tonight, I encourage you, are you ready for that? Are you ready to meet with God where you're at? Are you ready to see what He's doing in your life? Are you going to open your eyes to see? Because He knows how to get your attention. And He knows how to pursue your heart and to pursue your life. But you see, it's so amazing. It's up to us to respond. Because only when Moses decided to look and focus on this bush did God start to speak to him. See, God didn't start to speak to him before that. He first of all just appeared to him through interesting circumstances. And so maybe God's going to appear to you through someone else in your life. Maybe He's going to appear to you through supernatural signs and wonders. However He's going to appear to you, God wants to meet with you. But He's only going to speak to you. He's going to start to share His heart when you turn aside and say, I better investigate this. I better stop my life now and start to see what God is doing. And you see, this burning bush represents God's presence. It represents just the power of God. And you see, only when Moses fixed his attention on this bush did God start to speak to him. God does not simply waste His words through someone that He cannot trust. He draws you to Him. But He wants you to respond, first of all. And it's a thing of obedience. It's not like God doesn't want to speak to you, but when He appears to you, when He starts to reveal Himself to you through circumstances or situations, He just wants you simply to obey. And He cannot go the next step until you obey. And so maybe for some of you here tonight, God has already revealed that burning bush to you. Maybe He's already busy doing it right now through people or through however. But He is starting to appear to you in weird and wonderful ways. Are you going to obey? Are you going to respond and turn aside and just start to focus and say, God, what are you saying through the situation? What are you saying to me right now? And the amazing thing is when we do respond, just like Moses did, then what does he do? God calls him by name. He says, Moses, Moses. Twice he says his name. What's he trying to say to us? He's trying to say, I know you by name. You know, I've learned one thing about God. You know, when God calls you like that, it's not like he doesn't know where you are, okay? It's not like he's worried, oh, where's, I've lost Lenta now, I've lost Corne, I've lost Lisa, I don't know where they are, Lisa, Lisa, Flo, Flo, where are you? It's not like he can't find you, he knows exactly where you are. But he wants to say, I want to start to speak to you, I want to start to reveal my heart to you. And what did Moses do? Moses said, here I am. I can hear your voice, God. Yes, me, you know, choose me, I'm hearing you. So are you willing tonight to say, God, here I am, speak to me. Speak to me through however and whoever and wherever, but speak to me, Lord. And you know, I decided when this guy kept inviting me, I just decided I better go to the small group because this guy's too excited about this church and this small group for me to miss this. So let me go and see. And I was quite sort of nervous about going to the small group because I heard about these weird oaks that prayed and sang in tongues and did all this funny stuff. So I thought, the guy said to me, just, it's okay, you know, just be there and hear what God is doing and just sit. You don't have to perform or do anything. And I'm thinking, yes, I'm going to probably die now, but let me just go. But when I walked into that small group, I was so touched by the love of the people there. I was so just embraced and celebrated. And, you know, they didn't like say to me, okay, you know, are you going to get baptized now? Are you going to get saved? You know, they didn't ask me questions like that. They just said, come and join us. God is moving here. And I watched these guys worship. I watched the sincerity of heart. I could see these guys knew God. And I wanted what they had. And it was so amazing. You know, to cut a long story short, my life changed. Then I started to realize that I must get involved in this church because the church I'm in, I'm not growing there. I'm doing a lot of stuff for God, but I'm not growing myself. So I started to really seek God and go to the church services, attend small group and did the foundations and realized that I needed to be baptized. And so I was baptized and felt the Lord saying to me, you know, you're going to bear fruit for my life. And it was just so amazing for me to encounter God and going through Stellenbosch these last few days again, just realizing where God had brought me from, where I would have been if I hadn't had this guy next to me inviting me to small group, telling me something's happening. And yeah, I find myself, you know, serving God in the ways that He has chosen. But you see, when we respond, God starts to do amazing stuff in our lives. When we respond and say, yes, I'm going to investigate what's happening here, God. Here I am, Lord. Do with me what you want to, but I need a change, Lord. So God started to speak to me and to use me and to help me to grow to a place where I could worship Him. But listen to this, verse 5. Then He said, so now God's got Moses' attention. Moses says, here I am, Lord. And immediately the first thing He says to Moses, He says, do not draw near this place. He doesn't say, Moses, let's talk about all your weaknesses and all your issues and let's sort you out first, Moses. He just said, simply, do not draw near this place, Moses. Take your sandals off your feet. Lots of commands God is giving to Moses. For the place where you stand is holy ground. You see, when God had Moses' attention, he made sure he understood two things. The first thing He made sure he understood is that he could not come casually to God. He couldn't just simply waltz in and become His friend immediately. He had to understand that there was some protocol here. Moses could not come so close to God that he became familiar with Him, but he had to come close enough to hear His voice. That's the first thing. And the second thing is he had to prepare himself for what God wanted to do. He had to take his sandals off his feet. And I really believe the Lord is speaking to me and to all of us, I believe, about just the way we come to God many times. Because sometimes we come to God as the friend of sinners and He's our best friend and we can sort of keep Him at this control distance in a way. We sort of determine the distance that God is from us. And God says, no, I'll determine the distance you come from me. But you come to me on my terms. So I believe we come casually to God many times. We just waltz into church and we waltz into small group and to intercession and we're not really prepared to meet God. We sort of want to prepare when we get there, but God says, no, you must come to prepare yourself. You must understand that when you're in the presence of God, this is holy ground. You cannot get familiar here. And so I believe we must just make a shift many times in our lives to just come to church, not expecting to be prepared there, but to prepare ourselves before we come to the presence of the King. And not to come casually to God either, even if it's in our quiet times. We sort of become too friendly with God. And God is the friend of sinners. You'll see later God became the friend of Moses. But you see, that's not the first thing He said to Moses. The first thing He said to me, you must understand, Moses, you need to understand protocol. Yeah? You need to understand that you cannot just simply come casually to me. I'm a holy God. The place where you stand is holy ground. And so I believe, you know, that's why many times we don't see God move and miracles happen because we sort of are a bit casual with God. And we sort of, God, do this thing for me and, you know, do change my life a little bit and then you can come back into my box later, Lord. Just come and do something in my life now and then later on you can do something again. But I will determine it, God. I will control you, God. And the Lord just says, He cannot be controlled. He cannot be contained. There's a holy reverence and a holy fear of God that God wants to restore to His church because then He's going to do mighty things. But you see, He cannot trust us many times with His riches because we're not humble enough. That's the thing. Pride stands in the way. It's always about us and our terms and how am I going to approach God and how am I going to come to God. And the big I is in the middle of it all. And Jesus says, I want to be in the center of it. I want to come and do what I want to do. If you would allow me. But humble yourself. Take your sandals off your feet. And I believe we must many times just do prophetic acts to remind ourselves that, you know, we need to sometimes just take our cloaks off or take our shoes off if we have to come into church. Just to remind ourselves that, you know, we're not entering this any old house here. We're entering the house of God, the presence of God. And I really think that if we get excited about this, if we realize and consecrate ourselves more and say, God, do with me what you want to do right now, then we're going to see amazing things happen in our lives and through our lives. But sometimes we're just not focused and we say, God, speak to you on my terms. And God says to Moses, no, no, speak to you. I will speak to you on my terms. And then he said the following. Moreover, he said, I'm the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Then, even more, God started to receive even more of Moses' attention. Moses just had the fear of God come all over him. And he couldn't even look at God. He couldn't even face him. And then he started to speak to him. And he said to him, this is who I am, Moses. I'm the God of your father. But not only your father, I'm the God of all generations. I'm the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. I'm the God of the nations, but I'm also a God who's perfect, who's complete, who's secure in himself. You know, three, that's why he always uses three here. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob talks about generations, but it also talks about a complete God, a God who's all-knowing, all-powerful, all-sufficient. He's complete in himself. He's eternal. And you know, it's amazing when we come humbly before God and say, God, show me who you are. On your terms, God, then God starts to reveal his heart to us. God starts to show us that he's an awesome and a mighty God, able to do everything that he wants to. And you see, the fear of God came upon Moses. He couldn't look at the bush. And he realized who God was in his life. The first thing that he had, the first encounter that he had was who God is. Not who he is and how sinful he is. We'll see that later. Come back next week. We're going to continue with this. To show how God, how Moses started to look at his weaknesses. But you see, God didn't do that first. God first said to him, just encounter me on my terms and then I will show you the next step. And you know, for me, my own spiritual growth, you know, looking back at attending that small group and becoming part of the church and becoming a leader like that, you know, God started to show me when I allowed him and I said, God, I cannot do this. You come and show me. And then I started to become a leader in church and God started to prepare me for great things. And it took a while before I was sent away. But God started to mainly show me that he wants to speak to me on his terms and I need to let go of myself. I need to get rid of my own selfish desires. Because many times we want to serve God and be the man of power, be the woman of destiny and be seen and everything. And God just says, humble yourself. I will start to do in your life what I need to do, but I'm going to do it on my terms. And I want to first of all show you the God who I am in your life. I want to show you that I'm the God of eternity. I'm the God of who's in control. And I want to say to you tonight in your life, God is in control of your situation. God is in control of your destiny. God is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in your life. Not only your father and your parents, he's the God of all generations. But he's also the God of your family. He's the God of you. He's the lover of your soul. And he wants to speak to you. And then what happens? He starts to say, he says to him, he realizes Moses is now at the exact place where he wants him. You know, he's not looking at him. He's not familiar with him. He's got the fear of God over his life. And then he starts to share his secrets with him. And it says the following. I've surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt. And I've heard their cry because of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows. So I've come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up from that land to a good and a large land. To a land flowing with milk and honey. To the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Please just don't call your children these names, okay? Moses, or God says to Moses, listen here Moses, I'm in control. I've realized, I've heard the cry of my people. I've heard the cry of my people in Egypt. And I want to bring them out, Moses. I'm in control, Moses. I have come down to deliver them. Me, the great God, I have come down. And he says, therefore behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. So he says, I have surely seen, I know their sorrows, I have come down. I have also seen the oppression. And then he says the following, he says, come now therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. He says to Moses, Moses, come now. Come to me. I will send you. That's why you've come here, Moses. That's why I've come to meet you on this mountain. Because I want to send you. I want to use your life. So I want to say to us tonight, there's nothing in this nation, there's nothing in this city, there's nothing that God is not aware of. God has heard the cries of His people in this nation and in the nations of the world. And God wants to send each one of us. He wants to command us and send us as His instrument of deliverance. Because He says, guess what, Moses? I will do it. I will do it. He says, yeah, I will deliver them. But how does He do that? He says, Moses, come, I want to send you. That's how I'm going to deliver them. Through you, Moses. Sorry, Moses. Yes, it's you, not someone else. I'm going to do it through you. And next week we'll see Moses' response. It wasn't exactly, yes, Lord, you know, let's go change the world. But that wasn't Moses' response. But tonight I want to focus on the fact that God, that is what happens at the burning bush. That is what happens when we encounter God. God commissions us for His purposes, you see. And I really believe that the prayer, that's why we must pray continually for this nation, because God is hearing the prayers of the people. He's hearing the cries of the people, because there's lots of bondage. There's lots of challenges. There's lots of stuff happening. And God hears our prayers. He hears our cries. But guess what? He doesn't want us just to pray. He wants to say, I want to send you now. I want to send you. I want to send you. I want to send you. Because I've heard the prayers. I've heard the cries. And just in my own story where I realized, you know, in 2009, God called me and said, listen, yeah, it's time for you to go in the full-time ministry. And it was so cool for me because, like, yes, I'm going into full-time ministry. And then I'll never forget the phone call the guys made, said, listen, yeah, have you prayed about it? Yes, I did fast and pray. I feel God is calling me now. And they said, okay, cool, but do you know that you're going to be sent to Pretoria? And then the first thing was like, okay, God, I said to these guys, is there not anywhere else I can, like, George also needs a chauffeur, you know, George, like, on the south coast, it's nice and beautiful in the mountains, you know, can I go to George, and the guys, and I was like, the guy just said to me, one guy, France, he's in London now, he just said, but you know, Alistair, that when you say yes to God, that means anywhere, any place, any time, you know, and I was like, okay, I can't choose in this thing, okay, we need to go to Pretoria, that's where God wants to send. And it was a challenge to say, okay, now you're going to go into the ministry, you know. Yes, okay, God, I'll go. Not Gauteng, please. It's so funny, I mean, my wife, she must tell you the story, but, you know, we had 6 months to just work through this thing of we're going to leave Stellenbosch and all the beautiful mountains and everything, and we're going to have to go up to the city of gold you know, like buildings and things, and there's not much beauty there and everything. And then we had 6 months to work through it. But anyway, so my wife was eventually excited, although she did cry when we drove out of Stellenbosch for the last time and stuff. But she got excited a couple of hours later, because then you go into the N1, you go through Laingsburg and Beaufort West and stuff. And then we drive here past Bloemfontein on the N1. And so she's made a peace with the fact, and she says, yes, you know, I'm actually quite excited about going to Pretoria. Because at least we don't have to go to this place, you know. And so, coming from the Free State, I don't know what she had against Bloemfontein, but anyway, I just thought, let's go to Pretoria first, okay, and see what God wants to do. Because this thing about not wanting to go to certain places, that's probably where God is going to send you, okay. So, I always pray, Lord, yeah, I will never go to Hawaii, you know, I'll never go to Mauritius, Lord. Don't ever send me to the Maldives, please, Lord. You know, that's the prayer I pray now, but not quite. But I mean, you know, we have got to say, God, on your terms, when you commission us, it's all about you, God. It's not about our comforts. It's not about where we want to go, God. It's about where the need is and where you know we are going to make a difference. And that's why I say, when I look back at there, you know, how tough it was to leave Stellenbosch, now it's like this, just, God, I'm in your will. I'm doing what you've called me to do. And Lord, I'll go. Even if I have to leave you, God, it will be tough, but I'll go again if you have to send me, God. But it's just amazing to be in the will of God and to say, yes, Lord, here I am. Use me with my weaknesses. Use me with my inabilities and everything that I think that I'm not good at. Use me, God. And you see, there's a land of milk and honey waiting for the people of God. God said to Moses, Moses, I want to send you to the land of milk and honey. I want you to take the people to where they're supposed to go. Because people are in bondage. And you see, people need eternal life. People need to know that land of milk and honey is not this earth. It's not this life. It's the life to come. Because this life isn't the land of milk and honey. Let's be honest. As Christians, it's a challenge. But we are not supposed to get settled here. This is not it. We're supposed to just bring people out of bondage. That is our purpose. Jesus came to this earth out of His comfort zone, throne of heaven, sitting there, and He came down to this earth to become a man. How challenging must that have been? To lay down His glory. But guess what? He came to meet us as people where we are. He came to meet us all personally. And many of us here have testimonies of Jesus coming to meet us and saying, I love you. Come, follow me. That is what He did. And it's the same thing. He said to Moses, Moses, I'm going to meet you where you're at, but I want to use you. And you know, I had this amazing encounter with a guy on the plane coming back and going down to Stellenbosch. I had no one sitting in the row seat with me. And so I had a nice time with the Lord there. And then on the way back, there was a seat open between us and another guy sitting there. And I'm thinking, okay, God, if he's like there, then does that mean I don't have to speak to him? And everything? Because I'm always keen to speak to people. But I thought, okay, let's just leave this now. God, you must tell me if I'm going to speak to this guy. So I thought, okay, let me not try to, you know, make conversation. Yeah, you can do it, God. And so I was spending time with the Lord and everything. And just before we landed, this guy decides to move now to the seat next to me. Something's irritating in there. I don't know what it was. Obviously, it was God. Afterwards, I realized. And so I said to him, okay, but are you working in Bloemfontein or are you going back home? He says, no, I've got a business here. I actually spend most of the time here. My family's in Cape Town, but I work here. I've got businesses all over the Free State. And then I was like, and then he said, and yourself? And I said, no, you know, I like to tell people that I've got the best job. I look after someone else's wife, you know. And then he was like, what type of job is that, you know? So I thought, let him think for a while and everything. And I could see he's like baffled by this, looking after someone else's wife. So I said, no, man, I'm actually in the full-time ministry. I'm a pastor. I look after the bride of Christ. And he was like, oh, okay, cool. What church is it? I said, no, it's Shofar. And he says, oh, I haven't heard of it, but I come from, you know, the Roman Catholic Church. And he starts to share a few things with me. And then I said to him, but, you know, Chris, do you know that you're going to heaven? You know, are you sure that if you have to die, are you 100% sure that you're going to meet Jesus? And he was like, no, I'm actually not at all sure. Can we be sure? So we had this awesome conversation, and he just started to open his life to me and share his struggles with his wife, that he's not having a good marriage because he's away so often and everything, and he's got two kids. And he's starting to ask questions. You know, he's over 40, and he's starting to ask questions. What does his life really mean, and what is he after in this world? And so it was so cool. I could minister to him, you know, share the gospel with him, and just pray with him. And he was so open. He said, okay, let's pray. And I prayed with him there, and led him to the Lord and just told him, Lucia, it's time for you to really seek God. You know, you've prayed this prayer, but you must continue to seek God because God wants to change your life. I believe that God, if He wants to, will call you into something totally different to what you're doing now. But be prepared to seek Him and to start to follow Him. That is what we've been called for. And I said, I believe God is saying you're a significant guy. You're going to make a difference. You're a business person. You're going to, you know, do things for God, but start to seek Him because that's your purpose. Your purpose isn't to just make money and just have a business. Your purpose is to make disciples and to seek God. And he was so encouraged by it, and we traded numbers and everything, and I'm definitely going to follow him up, and hopefully we can meet sometime because he's not too far from here. But what was encouraging for me, apart from leading this guy to the Lord, what was more encouraging for me to realize that there's an awakening in this nation. People are starting to question whether they're actually saved or not. People are starting to realize religion doesn't work. Religion is not working. And I'm not knocking any churches here or anything, but you know, religion just keeps us in bondage in this Egypt that the Israelites found themselves in. This is the bondage that we need to tell people that they're in. And this city is full of bondage. We have to be honest. This city has a form of godliness, but there's no power of God. We are here hard ground, okay, because people think they're fine, but people aren't really fine. And it's just the most joyous thing to be able to be used by God. You know, I was just one little instrument in this guy's life. People have probably been praying for him for years, that he could come to this point where he's starting to ask questions about his life. And only prayer can break down the hardened heart like that. But he was open. He was ready to receive the good news. And I just believe there's so many more people like that in this nation. So many more people that are asking questions. Where am I going? What does my life mean? And that is where we come in. God wants to send us. Wherever we go, God wants to send us to make a difference in people's lives. He wants to commission us to send people and bring people out of bondage, out of religion, out of all the stuff that's keeping them away from God, into the fullness of God. That is our purpose. That is why Jesus Christ came, to commission us the same thing. And you see, this burning bush experience is not a once-off thing. And I want to say that it's time for us to just say, God, how do you want to use me? Where do you want to use me, God? It might mean you just have to start to give someone a hug, start to smile at someone, start to just encourage someone. However, start the first step. Do something that is going to make a difference. Lead someone closer to the love of God. But start somewhere and say, yes, Lord, here I am. But you see, tonight, I want us, as the band comes forward, I want us to seriously consider where we're at with the Lord right now. Because some of us are at this place where we just need to grow. We just need to come to Jesus for the first time, or maybe for the 20th time. But you need to come to Jesus and say, Jesus, I know you want to meet me where I'm at. I realize that wherever I'm at, Lord, it's not like I'm lost. Because you want to meet me where I'm at. You want to take me out of the place where I'm at right now. It doesn't matter where I am. It doesn't matter how frustrated I am or how struggling I am with life. God loves you tonight. That's what I want to say to you. And God wants to meet you right where you're at. And then the second thing is, God wants to call you. You see, He doesn't want you to stay at that place where you're at now. He doesn't want you to stay just tending sheep and being in the family business and doing the same old, carrying on with life. He's got a much greater plan for you. And you might stay in your career. I'm not saying you must change jobs now, but it's a thing of your heart. Where is your heart at? Don't stay there at that place of frustration, at that place of not knowing, an uncertainty of, am I in God's will or not? Am I hearing His voice? Because maybe tonight is your night. But He's calling you and He's saying, will you respond? Will you respond tonight? And then thirdly, when you respond, you see, and this is all an obedience thing. The first step is, God, here I am, take me out of my situation. You've revealed yourself to me, God, so what's the next step? God said, no, I'll start to talk to you. But I'm going to start to talk to you on my terms. Take off your sandals. Humble yourself before me. Then I will speak to you. And I'm going to show you who I am in your life. I'm going to reveal myself to you because you're not going to be able to do this which I've called you to do with your own revelation of me. I want to reveal myself to you. And I believe some people here tonight, the Holy Spirit has just shown me now, some people, you've got a self-revelation of God. You have decided who God is in your life. I believe some of us have to just lay that down and say, God, I'm sorry, I'm worshiping you from my own revelation of you, my own understanding of you. But I want you to show me, God, who you are. Does that make sense tonight? Because sometimes we try to figure out God. And God just says, let me show you who I am. I want to reveal myself to you on my terms. And then lastly, God wants to send you and commission you to fulfill His purposes. That's what the burning bush is all about. That's what an encounter with God is all about. And it continues throughout our lives. It won't just be a once-off thing. Because I'm having it continually. God is saying to me, you know, let's do this now. Let's sort this out. Because this is where I want you to go. Let's sort that out because that's where I want you to go. Be ready to change. Be flexible. But don't run away from where you're at now because God wants to reveal Himself to you right there. He wants to give you a burning bush encounter. So let's all stand this evening as we just respond to what God wants to do in our lives this evening. It's exciting. It's challenging. Thank you, Lord, tonight that you want to commission us. But first of all, before that, Lord, you want to meet us where we are. You want to start to draw us to yourself, Lord. You want to start to reveal your plans and purposes to us, Lord. And I pray tonight that none of us would remain at this place, Lord, of, Lord, being lukewarm and carrying on with the same old, having a controlled program where we can just control you, Lord, and put you in our boxes when we like and take you out when we need you, Lord. You are just sovereign, Lord. But your love is so great for all of us tonight. You want to meet us right where we're at, Lord. And we realize, Lord, tonight that we many times do miss it. But thank you for your word tonight. Thank you that you are sovereign and you are in control of this nation and of our lives. And we yield to you tonight. Do whatever you want to do tonight, Lord Jesus.